Behold, he comes.
Welcome to The Watchman. Get ready for awakening teachings on the end times, Bible prophecy, and on the times and seasons in which we live. The King is coming.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's go to Daniel chapter 6, verse 10. It says that, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went home, and in his upper room, with his windows open towards Jerusalem, he knelt down on his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as was his custom since early days. Praise the Lord. What is your custom as of the early days? Or are you random? Do you just do as the, you know, as you feel like? What is the one thing that you say, this one is non-negotiable? Whatever the case, I do this, and this is my custom. Praise the Lord. The truth is, if I was to ask so many of you here, there is almost nothing, maybe apart from brushing your teeth and what, and even maybe some of you that is subject to whim. But the thing is, let me tell you something. You see people enjoying apparently successful lives where they seem to be moving, or even people or ministries or whatever, even companies enjoying apparent some success, and they seem to be moving from one success to the next, to the next, to the next. And I can guarantee you that for every one of them, there is something that they do as was their custom. Amen? You can't live in this end time a random life where you do things according to how you feel and expect that you're going to have any measure of success. You are lying yourself. It will not happen. Praise the Lord. Now you see, you look at somebody and you know that this person, you can almost predict that they are going from one success to the other, to the other, and things seem to be moving well. And you can explain it in whichever way you want. But the reality is that there is something behind that which foments that. Now the people in the kingdom of darkness actually know that very well, because the penalties for moving away from their customs are instant. But somehow in the kingdom of God, yeah, today I was tired. Man, I can't pray. I'm supposed to wake up at 3 and pray, but man, it was a long day. And then you realize that you were on a certain trajectory and now it vanishes. One day, yes, one day, and it vanishes. Now you see, Daniel here knew the consequences of what he was doing. He was a satrap, the head of them actually, in the kingdom of Persia. So he knew that once the king signs an edict and puts his signature to it and his seal, it cannot be changed. And he knew that the seal was that nobody should pray to any other god apart from King Darius for 30 days. Now I'll tell you this, that 30 days is usually the time it takes for you to break a habit completely. So you know these things, they don't just say that. These people come and consult and tell the king. All the people have agreed that for 30 days, nobody should consult. Now, Daniel knows that if he can say, okay, let me wait 1 month afterwards, that's the end of his custom, as was his custom from the early days. So he says, I am not going to break my custom. Now, why does he think it is so important for him to continue his custom, even when he is facing the certainty of being thrown into the den of lions? Not the probability, the certainty. He knew that there is nothing even the king could do about that. But he chose rather, let me continue with my, you know, because he, unlike so many of us believers today, understood that everything he has had is out of this custom. Praise the Lord. There is a custom that is behind something, and everything he has had is because of this custom. So he says, now if the enemy, and you see, so many of us don't understand how eager the enemy is to break a custom that you started. Very eager. I'll tell you this. Some time ago, I determined, and that was quite some time ago, when I determined that every money I get, I'm going to take off a tithe and keep it somewhere. And no matter what, even if I spend the day hungry or the night hungry, I'm not going to touch it until I go to the place of worship and give it there. And I also decided that I will also give an offering, which is the equivalent of a tithe. So I knew in my mind that if I get 100,000, 20,000 is not mine. And it was like just a custom. I knew no matter what. And I would get it and put it somewhere in the pockets of a certain old jacket. Now, I would come to a time where I have no transport, no food, but I would not touch it. But here is the thing. That only happens for the beginning, to test the custom, to test if you're serious with your custom. As soon as I refused and I went hungry and what and refused to touch the money, that was the last time I went hungry. Because everything you decide to do will be tested by, you know, the enemy trying to take away the custom. Because he knows, let me tell you, if you do something consistently every day, you will have to have success. It can be something as simple as waking up every day and proclaiming that I am blessed with every spiritual blessing. And you do it every single day without fail. Just something as simple as that. Also, back then, I had a piece of paper which I wrote on scriptures which I wanted to proclaim upon myself every day. So I would wake up and read the paper and say, now thanks be to God who daily loads us with benefits. Psalm 68. Of course, all those scriptures of blessing, I am blessed, I'm favored, I'm all that. You know, the protection of God is upon me. It would take 5 minutes. Just 5 minutes of a day. I used not to work. I didn't have a job. But even that one was tested. Can you imagine something which takes 5 minutes? Because the enemy knows if you can do it every day, it is just a matter of time before it starts bearing fruit. It's just a matter of time. Now you might think you're just saying, you're not just saying. If you say it every day and it becomes a custom, it is very powerful. Until the day that you say, ah, today, man, I'm 5 minutes away from something. I don't have the 5 minutes. Then you fall into a trap. And because you do not understand that those things you are saying might even be responsible for the life you're leading or might be responsible for the life you want to lead. Now, that's why the enemy will try to keep you as a spontaneous person. When you decide to pray, you can pray 8 hours. But then you can also go 2 months without praying. Now, that's not going to help you. It is not. You'd rather pray 10 minutes every day, every day, every day, every day, until, rather than that, you know, up and down. Up and down doesn't help. Let me tell you, there is a power in consistency, okay? And a custom, as was his custom. Prayed 3 times a day. I am not going to change my custom because I might be thrown into a den of lions. Now imagine if the things you had to face were as dangerous as that. But no, the thing you have to face is to be late for breakfast or something like that. And you break a custom. Daniel, the penalty was being thrown in a den of lions. But he said, no, I'm not breaking my custom. And there's a reason why he did that. And there's a reason why in this day and age, you know, 2 Timothy chapter 3 says, in the latter days, people will have no self-control. They have no sense of everything is spontaneous. It comes at convenience. When it's convenient to pray, you pray. When you don't feel like it, you don't pray. When it's convenient to speak a blessing, you speak it. When you don't feel like it, you don't. Now, let me tell you what will happen with your life. You'll be, one day you're up, the next day you're down, and you've set that tone for your life. You cannot enjoy a life of continual progress day after day after day when there is nothing which is a custom that adds value to that. Amen? Let me tell you, you see these people of the kingdom of darkness, if he has to wake up at 3 to kufua mindi and to do those things, no matter what, even if it rains like what, he's going to do it. Because the day he doesn't do it, he'll wake up, the containers got lost, this one did what, this what, URA has captured the other, one day. So they know there is a penalty for breaking the custom. But here in the kingdom of God, you don't feel like it. Eh? Praise the Lord. Now let me tell you, if you really, really are serious about being a winner, there has to be a background of something which is as his custom was, as the custom was. And I'm talking spiritually here. Okay? Imagine something as simple as just proclaiming a blessing upon yourself every day. I'll tell you this. You just do it even for just 3 months and you see what difference it. Just proclaiming a blessing. I'm not asking you to pray for 1 hour in tongues. I wish you would. But my point is, even if you just proclaim the blessing from scripture upon yourself for 5 minutes every day, for just 3 months without fail, Just do it and see what it produces. But I know how the temptation is, and especially created by the enemy. Once he sees you've started doing something consistently, he will do everything in his power to break that. Then if you can skip 3 days, then come back, it's okay, you do it. It is the daily, as his custom was, that he is completely worried about. So if Daniel could have taken 1 month off and said, instead of going to the den of lions, let me be wise. Let me not pray for this 1 month. After it's just 1 month. They didn't say forever. Then I'll come back and continue. There would never be any Daniel the way we know him. Praise the Lord. And now let me tell you, people underestimate the power of simple things like customs. Even in creating big movements. Something big happens because somebody just started one day and started doing something small every day, as his custom was. Go to Acts chapter 17. It says, now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where there was a synagogue of the Jews. Then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for 3 Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, becoming envious, took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying, these who have turned the whole world upside down have come here too. Now I want you to know that Paul, just out of a custom, everywhere I go, I see a synagogue, I go there and start reasoning with people. Then, after some time, they said, these men who have turned the whole world upside down, how did he turn it? By just going to preach in the synagogue, as his custom was. Now you see, you come to Kampala, and you say, we used to do that. You know, want to do a big meeting, and do something powerful. So you hire a big venue and what? Then somebody just starts with a custom, like Paul. And now, that is also true for so many people here who God has called to do big things. But just something which you start with. And as his custom was, just do this. Now, you can see something big ahead, but then eventually, people are saying, these men who have turned the whole world upside down, how have they? Have they done it by organizing big meetings? No. Just by going to synagogue every Sabbath, Paul just walks to the synagogue and meets people there and starts talking to them and saying, this Jesus is Christ. And because the power of God is upon him, you see, eh? Now this can work for a business, this can work for anything. Anything that is big, just something small, you start and keep it, make it a custom. This is what we do every time. Now, it grows into something bigger. I was with sometime a pastor who has a big media thing, which is across the country and so on. So there is this program which he has every weekday night. So he told me that this is the program I started with, and I make sure I never miss it. Now, you could think that his media empire has grown. He doesn't have to be on that program every night. But he says this is where everything was birthed. This is where this whole big thing was birthed. So every night at 8, he's there on the program. He does it 8 to 9 every day, as his custom is. Now it grows and becomes a big media thing. But even when it becomes big, you still come back, you know, to his custom. Because he realizes that that was the birthplace of it all. So when he told me that, because I was thinking that you own this whole thing. Why are you here on a program? Now imagine, I want to give you an example. Imagine you own like a big TV, like CNN. But the owner comes and says, I have to do a program every day. You say, but you're the owner, you don't have to. But if he realizes that this is how it all started, and this is the custom that has put me where I am right now, they'll do it. Except if they are believers. Who will not do it when they don't feel like it? After all, I'm a millionaire, man. Why do I have to go and do that program? And that is the beginning of something. Praise the Lord. So it says here, Paul, just 3 Sabbaths, he enters a new place and he has a custom. 3 Sabbaths. 1 Sabbath, he goes reasons with the people. The next one, the third one, people are getting born again. Then people are getting jealous. Then people are stirring up the old city. And now they are saying these men have turned the whole world upside down. How? By just some small custom of going to the synagogue to argue with Jews. You have to know that the trouble is that there are people whom I know who had a custom, let's say, of praying between 3 and 4 every night. But they did it as long as they were broke. When it started giving birth to some success, now they are too busy, they are too tired, and they stop. And then, guess what? The success, which seemed natural and almost automatic, starts vanishing slowly, slowly, slowly. And now when you realize after some time that things which seem to be moving so fast are suddenly no longer moving so smoothly, then you go back. When you go back, they don't start again immediately. You have lost the cast. You have to go right back. It takes you back so far. And that's the reality of it. It will take you back quite some distance, and you have to now come and start rebuilding again. Yet it would have been so much easier to say that just 1 hour in a day. There are 24 hours in a day. And you say, if I actually recognize that my success is from this, then I'm going to do it. Amen? You even ask the people of the world, all those such, there is something they do without fail. No matter what. Amen? No matter what, they do it without fail. And as long as they do it without fail, it's just a matter of time before it gives birth to something powerful. Now, the trouble is, so many people either do not have that time to wait, they want things to be birthed instantly. And that's a temptation of the modern age. I remember when I first went on radio, which, by the way, how many radios are we on now? 10, eh? 10 radios, which more or less covers the whole country. Okay? So we're on one in here, we're on one in Busoga, we're on one in Bugisu, we're on one in Teso, we're on one in Guru, we're on one in Imbarara, we're on one in, okay, we're supposed to be on one in Hoima, one in Fort Poto, and so on. Kabari. Now, here is the thing. The thing is, I remember in 2014, 9 years ago, when every Wednesday at 9 p.m., I would jump on a boda-boda, I didn't have a car, and go to Spirit FM to preach End Time. Now, after some time, and I'd been, of course, doing a lot of study on End Time, and every Wednesday, sometimes I would be with friends, what, and as soon as it gets to 8, that's the beauty of a boda-boda. You don't need more than an hour to get there. If you are driving a car, and especially where Spirit FM was, man, that side. Anyhow, so I would go there every week. Then after some time, I remember a pastor called me and told me, "Are you the watchman?" I told you, yes. I didn't even use my name. I never used my name until after about a year. Nobody knew. I just said the watchman because I knew that people would have prejudice. Eh? When they hear Kableta, they know you from sports. They know you from where. Then they start presuming you don't know what you're talking about. But when you say the watchman, by the time they start presuming, they already know you know what you're talking about. Because you see, there's a mindset that if somebody knows you in this place, you're supposed to stay there. You understand? Eh? So the guy calls me and says, "Are you the watchman?" I say, "Yes, I am." He said, "But this voice sounds familiar." I said, "I don't know what you're talking about." Then he tells me that, "But tell me, where do you get these things you preach?" Then I said, "What do you mean, where do you get them?" "There must be some place you get them from." Now, here is what I understood, of course. He wanted a simple thing, go and get the certain book which I read from every message, you know, or a certain website or something. No, they had come through so many years of study. But he doesn't want that. He wants the instant thing. Okay? So you want to be blessed, but you don't want to wake up in the morning and proclaim a blessing upon yourself every day. And now, like, even sometimes I even wonder and say, what does God think? You are the one who wants to be blessed. Just wake up and proclaim the blessing upon yourself. Imagine the things you do in a day to just earn a living from morning up to evening, what? And then you can just spend 5 minutes proclaiming, and it's more powerful than the other one, but you'd rather do the other one than this one consistently. Because, of course, the other one, if you miss work, there are consequences. Now, some of you understand the language of consequences. Now, I'll tell you this, there are consequences for not doing something as a custom. They are there. They might not be so immediate as you've been fired, but they are there. Praise the Lord. So now you wake up in the morning, proclaim blessings, proclaim health, proclaim goodwill, proclaim protection upon yourself, upon your children, upon what? In 10 minutes, you're done. Then you can go and take your shower and go. Now, what if somebody actually did that? And I'm giving you the bare minimum. What if somebody actually did that every day for 1 year without fail? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So somebody comes, he listens to you preaching end time. Where do you get these things from? So I told him, man, I spend time studying them. I want them without the spending time. Praise the Lord. Amen? Let me tell you what. I also want a six-pack without going to the gym. Amen? Like, we cannot live our lives in what? In wishful thinking. Or we can decide that something matters so much to me, I'm going to dedicate time to it. Amen? But it is so much easier just to want. I want this. And then you be there, and you fool yourself, and you're going nowhere, and there is an easy route to where you want to go. A very, very easy route that does not even take away so much from you. Something as simple as just proclaiming a blessing upon yourself. Glory to God. So, every Wednesday, I jump on a border bee. It will take me about 40 minutes from where I used to be to get to that place. Sometimes with some notes written down, and I go and preach in time. Now we're on 10 radios. Amen? Which actually almost cover the whole country in terms of scope where we're teaching end time. Now, people whom you do not know listen to you and know you. They can actually know something about you when you do not know, because they have listened to you so much and something has... You know when you listen to somebody so much and you feel like you know them, eh? That's how it used to be with me and Kenneth Hagin. Like, it's almost as if you live in his house. Because you've read every book, you've listened to tapes, you've done what, you've eaten the man, eh? In and out, that you know everything. Even he starts a story and you've heard it before, eh? Because, of course, you would repeat some stories, eh? But everything he says, you know. Now, even when you sit with people who grew up on him, they say, you know, Kenneth Hagin said, yeah, you know, I've heard that story. Then he said, I've heard also that one. There is nothing you haven't heard. And then it looks like you know him, yet you actually have never met the man. So anyhow, I'm telling you that you can actually change the world by a simple formula as his or her custom was. Simple. Just that. As Paul did. These people have turned the whole world upside down. Now you see, they come and present it as if it's a negative thing. But it's a very good thing. Amen? It's like what I was telling you the other day of synagogues. Somebody came and told me, we used to take you seriously, now we no longer take you seriously. Then they present it as a bad thing for which you should be ashamed. But for you, you are saying, thank God you've chased me out of your synagogue. Now I don't have to do anything to please you or to be a part of you. Eh? I don't need your synagogue. So now it's okay. Now it actually frees you from anybody's expectations. Praise the Lord. And you see, people are slaves of expectations. You see people there, but they are slaves of expectations. People's expectations. That is actually the definition of the fear of man. Where you say, man, people expect me to be like this, so I have to be like that. If I'm not like that, I will not be. If I don't meet your expectations, go and find somebody who will do. I don't owe you any explanation whatsoever. Amen? You can't be slaves to people. That you're not supposed to be this. You're supposed to... Also, you say that. How can you even say that? What? I said, no, those are expectations. Me, I don't care. There's a time I wrote something on social media and put, this person is saying BS. Then somebody said, hey, even a pastor uses that. I said, yes, bullshit. If you're not comfortable with that, find somewhere you're comfortable with. Don't waste my time. I don't care. Like, you know, somebody is trying to box you in a corner where you're not supposed to say, who told you? Are you in charge of my mouth? And now I'll tell you, there are so many people whose every part of their life is subject to that. They have to give a picture of being happily married. You've seen those people, eh? With their picture. Even when they are not. I know somebody told me something interesting today, that the minute you have to give a picture of being happily married when you're not, you will never be happily married. Do you know why? Because it takes a lot of energy to keep up those appearances, that you never have enough energy to just work on your marriage. Yet you can actually just choose the real thing. Okay? Imagine if you are supposed to stand and pretend to be rich, yet you're not. Just imagine that. And yet you're not. Man, it is so energy draining. Because you have to watch everything. You have to behave in a certain way. Like you're actually living a lie. Whereas, here where we are, you can actually just say, I am not. But according to the scripture, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that even though he was rich, yet for my sake he became poor, so that I through him might be rich. And you just say that for 3 months, for 6 months, for 1 year, and things start to change. And then, somebody is still faking it for 1 year. And for you, you actually decided, I'm not going to fake. Let me just believe what the scripture says and confess it. You might not believe it. Just confess it. Just say it. Because that's what the Bible says. And just say it and go to work. And do whatever you want. Anyway, go to Luke chapter. I just want to show you one more example here. Luke chapter 4. Start from verse 14. Then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit to Galilee. And news of him went out throughout all the surrounding region. Verse 15. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified by all. Verse 16. Which is what I wanted. So he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. Go ahead. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. You know the rest. Okay? The Spirit of the Lord is up. You know what he said. But the thing is this, you might think he just went there on that day when he was going to tell them that this scripture has been fulfilled. No. He grew up in Nazareth and he used to go to, as his custom was. So even when he went and now had started his ministry, had gone and been tempted and what, when he went back to Nazareth, he went back to the custom. Every Sabbath, he goes to the synagogue. And then they hand him. Now, they think it's still the same Jesus who was growing up. They don't know now that his ministry has begun. He has been empowered. Now he's a different person. That's why they were offended when he told them that. Then he says they marveled at his words because they knew him, the custom. He comes here every Sabbath. And sometimes we give him to read, sometimes we give somebody else. But now this time he comes and sits. As his custom was, praise the Lord. But he says earlier his fame had spread abroad, all over. But still he goes back to the custom. Glory to God. Now if Jesus has a custom, and Paul has a custom, Daniel had a custom, for you what do you have? Like you are just there, a chija chije. Like you live your life spontaneously. Like there is no order. There is no self-control. There is no discipline. You cannot discipline yourself to do one thing without fail. And say, this one I will do without fail. Whatever the circumstances or the consequences are, apparently I will do it. Now, there are so many other people I could have given you. But that's a good sample. Daniel, Jesus, and who? And Paul, as a custom. It's just the generation we are in today. And now, let me tell you, the people who want to rule the world are very particular about customs. There was that guy who started, who was the former owner of Twitter. Some demonic guy called Jack Dorsey. He actually looks so much like you look at him and you really see this guy is from some sort of underworld. The guy said he used to go to India 6 months every year to meditate. 6 months every year just to go and meditate. And what was he meditating on? On Twitter. Now, I want to tell you this, that even Steve Jobs, the Apple guy, and I'm not telling you to be like Steve Jobs, I'm telling you to be like Paul and Jesus and Daniel. But I'm telling you that you think you're busy. You have not started a company which is as big as that. But these men would leave the company there and go to India to meditate. In the hills, those ends in the Himalayas. with these men who have beards up to the what? To the ground. And they be there 6 months in a year. But for you can't meditate for one day because you're busy. Praise the Lord. You cannot even meditate for one day in a month because the devil will deceive you that you're what? You're busy. I remember some time ago when everything was so messed up. One Monday, I just decided, I said, I'm going to every Monday just pray up to midnight and fast and pray up to midnight. So I did it the first Monday. I drove out of home and went to a certain place and stayed there and prayed the whole day and came back at midnight. Left that place at exactly midnight and came home and then had something to eat and slept. And somehow, I'll tell you this, let me tell you, like there are things which I had been chasing. And then people who are unavailable, then this, then that. Then, suddenly people start calling you. Hey, the other thing you left here, come and we talk about. People who were evasive, running away from you, suddenly they start showing up. Now, here is the problem. Of course, I was immature. All of them were saying, let's have a meeting on Monday. And guess what I chose? The meeting. And guess what happened afterwards? They vanished again. And by the way, it is that simple. If I had said, no, Monday is non-negotiable, I am telling you, it would have fast-tracked my success. If I had just stuck to it and said, no, Monday is my prayer day. We have a big meeting on Monday. Sorry, I can't attend. Do you know, as soon as I made my mind up that Monday is the day of prayer, I can tell you of fact that all the big people whom I wanted to meet said Monday, Monday, Monday. And you know, it's the devil. Because he's trying to make sure, that's like these people of Daniel, trying to break your routine. Because he knew, if I had just done that even for just 6 months, just one day a week, 6 months, I am telling you, it would have saved me like 4 or 5 years of being in a lot of trouble, just one day in a week. But by the third Monday, I had already given up because there were big meetings. Then the guy calls, can you imagine you give up going for that? Then the guy says, we meet on Monday. Then you say, hey man. Then say, Lord, I'm sure the Lord understands. Eh? Because this is somebody I've been wanting to meet for so long. And guess what? You even arrive on Monday, the guy says, ha, today is a bit busy. Can we meet on Wednesday? Then you say, man, this guy has just messed up my what? My routine. And that's how the devil operates. Now, if you're determined and you know that it is leading somewhere, you decide, no. I'm just giving examples. I'm not saying you should pray on Monday. Okay? But I wish I had. I wish I was strong enough to insist that no, I am not going to negotiate on this day. Because the first day I prayed up to midnight, I felt so light, I felt different, I felt like things were going to work out. Because you see, when things are, you get a sense at some stage of desperation, maybe things are not work. Like, can you even get into a place of fear where there is no faith? And you start fearing, you know, for tomorrow. I prayed only the first man and the second Monday, and all the fear disappeared. Faith was repressed. Everything was beginning to look good. Then I stopped. 2 Mondays. Some of you would survive on the one. Praise the Lord. And you know I'm right. Am I not? Am I lying? So, I'm looking here, by the way, to see if I can see any face of somebody who can determine. The scripture says, I set my face like flint, that I am going to do this. Now you see, go to Daniel chapter 6, verse 1. He says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 satraps to be over the whole kingdom, and over the governors of whom Daniel was one, and that the satraps might give account to the king, so that the king would suffer no loss. Then this Daniel distinguished himself above the governors and the satraps, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king gave thought to setting him over the whole realm. Now, I want to tell you this. You think all this was just because Daniel is so special? No, because he had his custom. 3 times a day, faces Jerusalem, prays. And that creates all this favor. And Daniel knew that all this favor comes from that. That it is all as a result of that custom. I will tell you, there are people whom you can see, even ministries, where it seems that nothing can go wrong. One good thing after the other, and you think it's by chance. It is never is. It never is. There is always a custom behind it. And the day they break that custom, something happens. So there has to be a sense of maturity in us to know that you have an enemy. You're not alone. There is somebody who wants you, who wants to fail you, who wants you to collapse. Like, there are forces of evil which want you to collapse. Now, that custom of you praying for 1 hour in tongues every day puts off all that. And then you apparently look like you're so, you know, special. Everything seems to work. But because you're doing that, now you do that and people look at you and say, man, that guy, everything comes to him. Or whatever he does seems to succeed. And you know, at least you should know, that's because there's something I'm doing. Now, Daniel knew all this thing of the king says, you're one of the governors, but I think I should make you the head of all of them. And then he has distinguished himself, a spirit of excellence. The spirit of excellence is the first thing that makes you discipline yourself to do something consistently enough every day. That's part of the excellence. The rest follows. Praise the Lord. I think I've made my point on that. But then, here is my advice. Start small. It's more important than you be consistent than that you do something big. That is the law of life in everything. Amen? Isn't it? In everything, that's the law of life. I'll give you an example you can understand. If I go and spend 3 hours in the gym every day, and then it takes me 2 weeks before going there, somebody who exercises for 15 minutes every day will be better than me, isn't it? That's the law of life. So now, start with something you can handle consistently and understand that it is giving birth. And look at the difference it makes in your life. And never forget where that difference came from. Never presume that things just happen anyhow. You have an enemy. You have somebody who wants to put you down. Like, there's an enemy who wants to hammer your finances, hammer your health, hammer your family, hammer your marriage, hammer everything. All those things are put together by prayer. Now, you see, there was a poll. They asked pastors in America, how long do you pray a day? Then they asked a number of pastors. Then they came up with an average. And do you know how long, on average, that's average, every pastor in America prayed a day? Do you know what the average was? 1, 2, 3 minutes on average. That means there are so many who prayed 0 minutes, because of course there are those who pray 2 hours, 1 hour. But they came with the average, 3 minutes every day. Let me tell you, don't deceive yourself. You can never live a victorious life when you're like, never. You're lying yourself, never. You have an enemy and he's after you. Praise the Lord. He's after what? After you. And he does not want you to succeed. But you can keep him at bay all the time. Now they are getting summons from ChatGPT. They are getting summons from the devil. ChatGPT. Write for me a sermon on love. Then gives you. Then you cram. And then go and produce. And man, death, death, death. Praise the Lord. Because there is no communion with the person whom you're supposed to be serving. Nothing. So you're dead. You're like a branch which is cut off from the vine. You're getting no energy. Now, even as a believer, forget a pastor. Now, if that's a pastor, then man, we are in serious trouble. But even a believer, you cannot, you're lying yourself. You will start having problems. And now so many of you are like that. Man, pray for me this, pray for me that. This has not worked, this is not working. And the issue is you're just not praying. They can pray for you, but you have to pray for yourself. You understand? Like, you're just not praying enough. And the day you decide and say, even if it is 20 minutes, I am going to spend 20 minutes praying in tongues every day. Just 20 minutes. And do it without fail. Just do it for 3 months and you see the difference it makes. Just 3 months, 1 to 3 months, 90 days, without fail. And you see the difference it makes. Praise the Lord. You can't live your life like that. Because if you live your life, it's like you don't have an enemy. He wants your marriage, he wants your job, he wants your finances, he wants your health, he wants what, everything. He just wants to mess you up all the time. So you have to be consistently in battle. Now, if you forget the fact that we are in battle, especially in this end time, you are going to become useless. For this end time, totally useless. Because we are in battle and that's the reality. And there is nothing of the things that you see somebody having success of that do not come through prayer. I was telling the partners that have been under a period of like 3 weeks or 1 month of extreme attack. I also told them that after every such attack, God comes and comforts you. Praise the Lord. It says that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, there is a period of comfort where God says, man, my son, we'll survive it. Now, I want to comfort you. So I was telling them to expect comfort in terms of finances. Eh? Now I'm already receiving some good comfort. Eh? Now you should start having comfort. Now, imagine I just live my life like that. And yet there are people who are actually proclaiming your death. And not easy people. People who are demonic, spiritual people. And they are proclaiming your death. And for you, you're just there taking cappuccino. Eh? That's how people wake up in the morning and, pa, we don't know what happened. He wasn't even sick. He just got a headache. They took him and he died. It's not the first time it has happened. I've had that before. There's one where I had a dream where they had taken me to sacrifice me. Way back, long time ago, they had taken me. I woke up in the morning. I was feeling feverish, not well and what. And I'm saying, what is wrong? There's nothing wrong with me. Of course, I don't expect to get malaria. So now, why am I, weak? Then you're cold. Then I'm saying, what's wrong? I had some work to do, so I go and do it. But in a very restrained way because of the way I was feeling physically. Then when I finish, I come back home and I'm exhausted from something which shouldn't exhaust me. But because of the state, then I fell down. I just fell down on the bed and I had this vivid dream where they had taken me to a certain place and they were going to sacrifice me. And some guy had told me, come and I give you a lift. Then he had taken me into a bush. And then we drove. Then I said, where are you taking me? Then the guy said, no, there is a shortcut. They said, which shortcut? He was going into the bush. And then we reached there. And then the guy jumped out and got a knife. And said, now, you're finished. We are going to sacrifice you. Then I turned around like this to move. And there was a guy standing behind me with this look of, you are going nowhere. Anyway. So in the dream, I said, in the name of Jesus. Then I woke up. I woke up actually saying those words. So then I prayed in tongues. It took like a day or two and then it vanished. Then I noticed that is how people just wake up and they are dead. You hear somebody died. If I didn't have any spiritual protection, you just wake up and you die. Because people have actually proclaimed your death there. Let's read the scripture. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort. Amen. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may comfort those. Okay, go to the next verse. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so also our consolation. So just like I suffered, consolation. Praise the Lord. Now I'm going to show it in their faces that God is here consoling me, saying, man, man, you hammered them. Now come and I console you. Praise the Lord. By the way, I've already started enjoying consolation. But I don't want to tell you because you'll be jealous. Eh? Glory to God. Comfort and consolation. So, there are two lessons we learn from Daniel, by the way. I'm meaning Daniel, the person, not the book. The first one is from Daniel chapter 1, where in this end time, the enemy creates an appetite in you that you cannot sustain. I've spoken about that before. Amen? When they come and they say, we are going to give you the delicacies of the king. We are going to give you the meat and the wine that the king drinks because he has chosen you to drink that. And Daniel and his friends say, no, we don't want that. We want our vegetables because that's what we are used to. Now, that is wisdom that so many people today don't understand. That anything that you cannot sustain by yourself, try to avoid. Because later on, it's not that Daniel did not take wine or eat meat. He did. Because later on in Daniel, I think chapter 7 or 8, he says, I was fasting for 21 days and he said, I ate no meat, nor drank any wine. Which means that if he didn't eat meat or drink wine because he was fasting, ordinarily he did it. But he did it when he was able to handle it. Okay? But here, when you come, you're just a young boy from Judah, a captive. And they are saying, we are going to feed you like a king. Kudiruchi. You know that the enemy creates an appetite in you that you cannot sustain on your own. And that is the way people become slaves. Praise the Lord. That's the easiest way to become a slave. Somebody gets you from where you're comfortable and pulls you to a place where you're not comfortable on your own, where you've not grown to level of measure of faith. And then they say, no, no, I will supply you. Then they have become your God. By the way, if you don't understand, that's even what the colonialists did to us. You know, usually somebody who is going to destroy you first takes you out of your comfort and pulls you away. Now, after all these years of colonialism, we cannot even make a pin. Yet that time, we were actually making weapons out of metal when they found us. In a rudimentary way, but at our level. So, nebaba lega, then now you lose all your creativity. You become dependent on them. Now, Daniel taught us that lesson. Do not accept anything that you cannot manage on your own. Otherwise, you're setting yourself up to be a slave. Now, this might even help some ladies here. That, it's okay. You leave your job, I'll pay your rent. And what? You're becoming a slave. Because now, you're dependent on that person. And that is a tactic of the devil and all his servants. Isn't it? I know so many people whose lives have been turned around because they were not patient enough to get to a point where they can access things by their measure of faith. I'll give you an example. Imagine if I wanted to live the life that I live now 10 years ago when I started my radio show. I would be in serious trouble. Serious trouble. That's how you become a Mufere. That's how you start going in debt. You understand? Eh? How do you think Mufere are created? Like that. The whole of Mufere starts from wanting to live beyond what your faith is capable to handle. That's the beginning of Mufere. Now, the minute you understand that I will go at my level, even now there is a life I can desire to live, which will make me a Mufere, because I'm not yet there. But then, I'm going to go there in a matter of a short time. So there is no point rushing. It's easier to build and go there. But Daniel, they say, we are going to give you the delicacies of the king. He says, no, we want vegetables and water. And then God honored their faith by making their bodies look better. That's the first lesson. The second lesson we learn from Daniel, as I come to an end, is as his custom was. If you pick that out of today and make sure there is something that you can say, this is my custom, and no matter what, I remember hearing a man of God saying that no matter what, I pray in tongues for 1 hour every day. Now, that doesn't mean that necessarily 1 hour and on the dot you're over. It means a minimum of 1 hour every day, no matter what. Now, you might say, just 1 hour. Me, I can pray 4 hours. Can you pray them every day? Now, this is somebody who has told you, I've been in ministry 40 years, and for every single day of the 40 years, I've prayed in tongues for 1 hour every day. Now, that is success. And now, of course, he's successful. He's big. Every single year, every single day of those 40 years, 1 hour in tongues every day, minimum. And it gives birth to success and success and success and success. And then growth, growth, growth. Then it creates enemies of people who think that you have a special favor from God, or as Daniel. You know, it says that when the angel came, he says, oh, Daniel, thou greatly beloved. God is no respecter of persons. Daniel focused. He knew what he wanted. Now, when you have your custom, you'll not be scared by things like, there are things which I would want to discipline myself to do, but I can't yet. But there are those which I have to. Like this one is non-negotiable. I wish I would discipline myself to go to the gym, but that one is secondary. It's not a matter of life and death. But there are those which are primary. I remember some woman of God said she wakes up at 4:30 every morning and takes a cappuccino, and then she spends the next 2 hours doing a Bible study. Then, as with everybody else, she gets tempted to believe that today I'm going somewhere I don't want. Then she said the Lord told her that if you had a problem with your kidney and you were in dialysis every day, you know what dialysis is, would you say that today I don't feel like it? Then she said no. She said yes, because you know your life depends on it. Then she said the Lord told her your life depends on this. The trouble is that you do not realize it. So then she learned that now, 2 hours of Bible study every day, your life depends on it. I remember one day I was preaching somewhere, and somebody had had a dream, some young man, university student, had a dream. And in the dream, there was something with where he saw me and what. But the interpretation of it was God was telling him to improve his Bible knowledge, and he was using me as an example in the dream. So the guy came and listened to me preach. And then he said, man, the way I had, the way you jump from one scripture to the other, man, I can't do that. I said, I've been doing this for 20 years, man. Like, what's it about people that think that you can get, if somebody just said one chapter a day, in a short while, you'll be an expert. You see, eh? But when you read the one chapter today, now Abraham beget what, and then beget what, and then beget the other, and then the other, and what? Then so and died, and then was buried. One chapter. You look like you're doing nothing. You're not. Amen? You're having a custom of one chapter. Some chapters, man, it's full of names, what? And you look like you're wasting your time. You're not. There's somebody I know, like he could span out things. He said, every day I would read one chapter from the Old Testament and one from the New Testament. Every day, without fail. That's how expertise is made. You can't wake up and you're an expert like that. Now, I used to read one book from book to book, not in one day, but I would read like as many chapters as I feel I can concentrate, then stop there, put my bookmark, then go and do it again and again, then finish Isaiah, then go to Jeremiah, then go to Lamentations, then go to, Ezekiel, then go to Daniel, like that. Then I would finish the Old Testament, then go to the New Testament, taking my time, 2 chapters, 3, 4, some days because I was alert, 5. Then I did it again. Then you find that when the Lord is communicating something to you, let's say that you are going to minister, he will just remind you something which you know is in the Bible. You might not know exactly where it is, but you know the wording. You know enough of the wording to just type in Google and you get it, because you've read it over and over again, and it is stuck somewhere in your memory. Praise the Lord. Now, if you're determined to do that, meditate. You know, there's a scripture here where Isaac went to the field to meditate, and so the camel was coming with his wife. But you know, it said, Isaac, it doesn't say that in the Bible, but he says he went in the evening. He went to the field to meditate. And it was clear, and Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And it was clear that this was a custom. In the morning, he wakes up, goes to the gardens, does what. In the evening, he goes to the fields to meditate. Now, you see, there's a practice behind it. Somebody just goes, in the evening, he goes and meditates. And I said, I thought this man was just blessed because he was Abraham's son. And the covenant was with him. It was more than that. All these Old Testament people had practices which they never deviated from. David had a practice. As soon as he became king, he instituted a worship in the tabernacle before the mercy seat and the ark of the Lord. He got Levites led by a man called Asaph. And those people came from morning up to evening. The Bible says at the same time that people go to work. So if it was like in Uganda from 8 to 5, their work was to go and compose psalms and hymns to worship the Lord from morning up to evening. And they were paid by the government. They were civil servants. It says in the scripture they were paid from the king's treasury. The king's treasury was like from people's taxes. But David thought it was important, so important, that these people, their work was every day to go before the tabernacle of the Lord, before the mercy seat, and they would sit there and compose songs and worship God all the days that David was king, 40 years. And as long as they were there, Israel never lost a single war when they were there. Praise the Lord. Now that's what God told Moses. He told him that make sure that the lamp, which is before the mercy seat, never goes out every day. There was somebody who was supposed to go and make sure they put in oil every day. And he told him, whatever you do, make sure that lamp never goes out. Now you think, what was God saying? So before the mercy, there was a lamp which burned day and night. And it was somebody's responsibility to make sure it has every single day for generations to make sure it has oil. so that it continues burning. That is the power of consistency, because that was a symbol of the presence of God among them. Now, the day you say, and the guy who puts oil forgot, and the lamp went out, the catastrophe that would come out of that, because God emphasized, make sure it never goes out. Praise the Lord. Now, make sure your lamp never goes out. Don't be a on and off. Make sure you consistently speak a blessing upon yourself. Praise the Lord. Consistently. Even if it is for 1 minute. Surely you can take a minute off a day. Surely you can take a minute off a day. Amen? Even if it is five, just make sure it is every day. You just do that and see what is going to produce for you. Just that. Make sure that lamp does not go out. The fuel you put in the lamp is to wake up in the morning and proclaim scripture upon yourself. Blessed be the Lord who has blessed me with every spiritual blessing. His divine power has given me everything that pertains to life and godliness. And so on and so forth. And scriptures you might choose. Just that every day. This is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And you know, you say that today, tomorrow, and after like 1 month, it becomes complete habit. You cannot go without doing it. Now, the devil might try to attack it, but insist. Kulemerako. Until you start seeing results. And when you start doing results, don't stop. That is the mistake that many people do. They stop. I'll tell you this. After David, Solomon just copied what David did and continued paying those people who were composing songs. And until Solomon fell away from God and God created enemies, specifically just because Solomon had fallen away from God, still Israel were undefeated. Actually, it said they had peace all around. Nobody is attacking them. But in those days, that was a miracle. Because kings used to go to war. They even had a time of the year when they go to war. You remember that? They had a time of the year and they are looking for, this year, who are we going to attack? For no reason. There are people who are like that. There are people like that who want to fight. Somebody told me one day he was walking. Just walking on his way. Actually, walking, praying in tongues. Then he met some guy with, you know, a sleeveless shirt. The guy was walking like this. Now imagine, then the guy said, from nowhere. No quarrel, nothing. So he just moved the other side and continued walking. And he had walked like a few meters down. Then he had blows behind. And the guy had finally found somebody to us. Then he had poof, poof. Then he turned behind. The guy was now hammering somebody here. Now there are people like that. Now it said they had peace all around. Imagine the miracle of. There are kings who are looking for people to attack, but for you have peace for 40 years. 40 years of total peace. That was Solomon. Until towards the end when he had fallen away. Where it says God actually is the one who awakened enemies. Because he had, you know, abandoned him and went after foreign gods. But before that, peace. Everybody is at peace with you. Man, that's a miracle. And you know what causes it? As his custom was. Amen? A fire shall always be burning. Let's read the scripture. On the altar. It shall never go out. Now, this is God emphasizing. It shall never go out. Make sure it is always burning. Always. Glory to God.
That was The Watchman. Join us for our Friday fellowship, 5:30 p.m. at Amar The Palace, along Gaba Road, near the American Embassy. To connect to the anointing upon The Watchman, you can give through the ministry mobile money lines, that is +256 780 292 555. Or +256 755 292 555. Follow us on our Facebook page, The Watchman, on Twitter at UG Watchman, Instagram at @the_UG Watchman, and on YouTube, Ugandan Watchman. Or send us an email to info@ugwatchman.com. For more information on previous messages, on how to give, resources, and more, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. The Watchman, the King, is coming.